Well, once again, we're in the book of Proverbs as we look at the dual subjects of wisdom and humility. We'll be looking, actually, I've got there in your bulletins from chapter 11 through Proverbs 11 to Proverbs 29, but we'll be looking at from 3 all the way through to 29. So there's going to be a lot of jumping back and forth, but those are the primary texts for you to locate if you wish to. You know, every day we make decisions. We make decisions about what to do, what to say, how to do it, how to respond to people. We make decisions every day. The question is, how often do we look to the Lord and His wisdom in making those decisions? Are we so autonomous in our lives that we figure we don't need Him? Now, we don't think that way. We don't think, I don't need the Lord. But how many of us actually go to Him first to seek His wisdom before we make those decisions? You know, we were talking in Sunday school, Clara was, about how when witnessing, what's my motivation? Is it that I want to make my point, or do I have their heart? And where's that point of love that God speaks about in our witnessing? Wisdom. Our decisions cannot, as Christians specifically, cannot be made in a vacuum. They're not to be made just because we can make them. They are to be made under the authority and divine submission of Christ. That aspect of, is He sovereign or not? If He is, then that's who we are to go to. We are to humbly submit to Him and His Word. God commands Solomon in chapter of Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 7, this: get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. I mean, it's like somebody's writing this stuff today. Because we don't want a lot of froth and frivolity. We just want the bare facts. Well, here are the bare facts. Get wisdom. Get insight. But to do that, we have to humbly submit ourselves before Him. It's not something we can grab out of the air. It's not something we can grab from our stomachs or our hearts, because our stomachs are ruled by the food we eat. So we can't trust them. And our hearts are easily broken and consumed by other things, so we can't trust it. We have to come to Him. We have to submit before Him. As James tells us, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So He says, He commands clearly, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. And Peter gets in on this as well, because he didn't want to be left out. He says, clothe yourselves, all of you. How many is that? Everybody. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I think we heard that already. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, He may exalt you. God promises us wisdom. He provides a way for us to get that wisdom. He has given each of us, at our conversion, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit enables us to want to get that wisdom. The Spirit enables us to be able to implement that wisdom for one purpose and one purpose only. Not so that we will look good, but that we will bring God glory. It's that wisdom and humility that we're going to look at today, because that's how God is glorified in all our decisions. So pray with me. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before You today seeking Your guidance, seeking the truth that will transform and change us, enabling us to flourish in the community of the church, enabling us to understand our destiny, and that is to glorify You and to enjoy You forever, so that we can look forward to the destination that You have determined before the foundations of the world for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Bible's really clear. God defines for us what humility is. God's spirit of wisdom enables us to be humble when we submit ourselves before the face of God. Now, we like the term before the face of the God, but we like the Latin term better, right? Coram Deo. Now, it's a great word to say, great two words to say, makes us feel good, makes us look intelligent, of course, when we're in a conversation and we use Latin. But that's the reality for each of us every day who call upon the name of Christ, that we do everything before the face of God, everything. And in Christ, this is even truer than it was with the Aaronic blessing that spoke of how God's countenance would be upon us. For Christ fulfills this blessing. Those who humble themselves before the face of God daily will receive and experience the blessing of God. For there's nothing better than to bask in the glow of God's grace as he looks out upon us. You remember the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That is all accomplished in Christ Jesus. But Solomon had a word to this in Ecclesiastes as well when he says, a man's wisdom makes his face shine. The hardness of his face is changed. Now, this wisdom of man that he's speaking about here is the shining face like Moses. So it is the wisdom of God given to man that makes his face shine, that takes that flint of a face and changes it to soft and loving. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, God's face rises upon us. His countenance is upon the humble and those who are in the fear of the Lord. So today we'll be looking at this concept again of wisdom and humility. First, wisdom will show us our divided heart. Then we will see how the fear of the Lord and humility are connected. And lastly, for today, wisdom will show us the proper order of things, humility before honor. So let's begin with the fact that wisdom reveals or exposes our divided heart. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. Flip over a couple of Proverbs to Proverbs 13:13. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. Divided hearts seems to be a topic of Scripture. Pride versus humility. All through the Scriptures we see the problem that man has, the problem of our pride, because pride is easier for us every time. Being prideful, because we want what's best for ourselves, we want our rights, and we want to look good, to look powerful, to look better than the next guy. I gave up on that a long time ago. But that's how we divide. That's how we divide ourselves. Prideful, humility. And then connected to that one is another verse, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction. Haughtiness, another word for pride, before a fall. Just so that we recognize that the Proverbs specifically makes this abundantly clear, this pride versus humility problem. But the Bible itself has a lot to say about pride. Adam and Eve wanted to be like God. They ended up mortal and expelled from their home. Nebuchadnezzar boasted, "Is not this the great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power for the glory of my majesty?" He boasted, and what did God do? He made him a nitwit, eating grass with the animals. Pride comes naturally to the sons and daughters of Adam. But as we have said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, because the human heart is deceitful above all things. It fools us and is easily and often fooling us. So we foolishly think of ways to pacify our insecurities and our fears, which compounds the problems. One lie leads to the next. Always. And then you can't remember the lies that you said at the beginning. I love Steve Brown said, the problem with, I've given up on being a liar because I can't remember the ones that I lied last week, because he was 90 years old at the time. He said, I can't remember the ones that I told, so I can't keep lying. And now you can watch it on TV, because they replay what you say, especially if you're a political official. One leads to another. Pride battles our humility, our humble desires in the Lord all the time. We know what's right. We know that it's right to walk humbly before our Lord, but our pride seeks to derail us every step of the way. Every step of the way. In this life, we are commanded to do something extremely simple. Humble yourselves before the Lord. But given this fallen world we live in, given the fallen nature in which resides within us, it is the hardest thing that we are called upon to do. I know, I have trouble with it. I'm constantly wanting myself to look better. There's a reason why husbands and wives fight. The number one reason husbands and wives fight, because they're trying to protect. They get defensive about the stupidest things. I know. I still do it after 50 years of marriage. Almost 50 years of marriage. It's important for us to listen to the Lord. God provides the Spirit so we can. Rather than giving into our pride time and again, let us submit to God's commands, trust in Him, and rest in His Spirit, and actually believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross. What a concept. Actually believe that. Because it secured our salvation. If we would spend more time rehearsing those truths, sitting before the preached word of God, receiving the sacraments, as we'll do later on, submitting to one another in the Lord, confessing our sins to one another, rejoicing together in the community that God has established called His church, for it's there we flourish. We can't flourish anywhere else. There's nobody else out there that gives a rip about your growth. Nobody. Except brothers and sisters in Christ. That's it. And most of them don't really care. Or we'd have a better and stronger church. And so it's crucial for us to understand that community that God has established for us. That's where we grow. That's where we can combat the pride that wants to have us. To seek guidance from the church leadership when we're confused, or others within the church, the body of Christ you trust for their assessment. If you're sitting here today and you're saying, I don't have anybody like that in my life, and you're a member of this church, then I'll give you one word. Repent. Because your pride is taking over you. Next, wisdom shows us how the fear of the Lord and humility are connected. Go all the way back with me to Proverbs chapter 3:34. We're going to be actually looking at 3:33, 34, and 35, but 3:34 is the main text. Toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. And then go forward to keep your finger there, because we're going to refer to that. Go forward to 22, verse 4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Now, we've looked at this one from chapter 3 before, many, many weeks ago at this point. And chapter 3, of course, in Proverbs, is one of those places that you could look at each verse for the most part and get just a ton of knowledge from. a ton of wisdom from. But specifically 33, 34, and 35, we read these. In 33, we read, he blessed the dwelling of the righteous. 34, to the humble he gives favor. 35, the wise will inherit honor. This call to humbleness in 34 reminds us, or should remind us, that the reason that we can be humble is because of Jesus, who came, went to the cross, and rose again, and left us his Holy Spirit. That's the reason we can be humble. There is no humility outside of a relationship with Christ. The humble find favor with him. Christ, we are in Christ and we fear the Lord. Not because we demand it by our merits, not because we figure that somewhere down the line we are going to choose faith, because we can't, but because of his great love for us, we're able to submit to him and his word. This truth that we see here in these texts are repeated almost verbatim in the places that I've already referred to. Jesus, James, Peter, here four times, five times. Then we have all the extrapolations of what humility is and what's gained from that within Scripture, showing that pride, or the scorner in this position, is in opposition to God's grace, opposition to God's favor. So those of us who live in the fear of the Lord seek to humbly live before him. And why wouldn't we seek to live humbly before him when you consider the benefits of living in humility? We know what the side effects are in living arrogantly. That doesn't go too well for us. We've got a lot of people upset with us. Life is difficult at best, but within humility, not only do we experience the peace of God, we experience his grace. And God then honors us because the glory of Christ is within us. And that glory continues to grow from one glory to another, as Paul says. That's the benefit of humility. Why wouldn't we want to be humble, except for our fallen nature that says, I have to be defensive, or I have to prove myself better than you. That's how we make it in this life. Independence, autonomy, got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. The best place in the world that you could live. But autonomy and independence and pride got them kicked out of the garden. Thankfully, God loved them so much that he provided clothing for them, spilling the blood of his animals that Adam had just named, so that their sins might be covered in their sacrifice. The fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The humble stand in stark contrast to the prideful. Those who stand in the fear of the Lord stand in stark contrast to the fool. Humility requires God's grace given through rebuke, given through setbacks in life, given through God's word, parents, teachers, elders, fellow believers, until we learn a very simple truth, and I've said this multiple times through the years. This is Theology 101. God is God and we are not. But we have to learn that truth. Now, we wouldn't call ourselves a God, but we act like it on a daily basis, making our own decisions without checking in with the one who enables us, strengthens us, empowers us, and tells us no sometimes. It may seem like most of the time, you know, it's like talking to your parents. You don't want to talk to them because they're just going to say no to you. Well, maybe it's the best thing. The humble person thinks honestly about himself, not too highly. The humble person doesn't falsely deny either what God has given. C.S. Lewis put it this way. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourselves less. Let that sink in a minute. That brings us to the main text. Flip over to 22:4, if you will. The reward of humility or fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. God commands us to humble ourselves before Him. He says that the reward of doing so is riches, honor, and life. How many of you are taking a breath right now? That's the definition of life. You say, well, the non-believer gets to breathe too. That's God's common grace, but we also know what's coming to them. They don't want that. And I point back here because we were looking at this in Revelation earlier. Sorry about that. Old habit. Humble ourselves. Coupled with humility and the fear of the Lord, they go together. This text could easily be read, the reward for humility is the fear of the Lord. For the fear of the Lord takes our focus off of ourselves and places it smack dab on where it belongs, on the Lord. It is in this that our accomplishments and our privileges, the ones that we think we have, come to mean nothing to us, replaced by the sense of need to seek God's blessing by focusing on God and His Word over and over again. This is the wisdom of humility, fearing the Lord. The proud forget God on purpose. They don't call on Him for help or forgiveness or refuse to give Him thanks, as we saw from Daniel's prayer earlier. The humble know and rely on Him for life. As I said, we rely on Him for our very breath. Forget about all the other stuff that we could list. That's life. That's riches. That's honor. Abraham was told these things. He was promised these things when he was told to leave Ur. Solomon received all of those things after he asked simply for one thing, wisdom. God gave him all of those things. Because he came before God at that time in his life, humbly. And Peter, interestingly enough, asked Jesus what he would get for having to leave all things to follow Him. And you'd sit there, I don't know, if my pupil was asking me that question, I wouldn't be quite as nice. But this was Jesus' answer. Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold, but you got to remember what he says afterwards, with persecution, and then, in the age to come, eternal life. There are great rewards in this life, but God has reserved the multiplicity of rewards for the one yet to come, as we look forward to that in humility. So humility and the fear of the Lord go together like hand in a glove, both enabling us to glorify God and to edify one another. Finally, for today, wisdom shows the proper order of things. Humility before honor. We've already seen that, but as we think of it, if we consider it again, turn with me to Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And then turn to Proverbs 29:23. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. As we consider 15:33 again, the formula is a simple one, one that we've already seen many times. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. In other words, wisdom begins in the fear of the Lord. True wisdom flows from the fear of the Lord, and humility comes before honor. An essential part of the fear of the Lord then is humility. People are wanting, how do I know if I have the fear of the Lord? Well, first thing is, if you have the Spirit, you have the fear of the Lord. But does anybody else know I have the fear of the Lord? That's where humility comes in. Humility is to be seen by those around us. You may think you're humble, and the moment you begin thinking you're humble, you're wrong. Doesn't matter what you think. How does other people perceive you? In fact, if you think you're humble, you're not. Another reason to repent. I love it, because the first time I read that Moses was the most humble person in the world, I thought to myself, how is that being humble? And then I realized who said it. So it's important for us to recognize that. It's what's seen. Humility. The essence of humility is a realistic appraisal of one's person before God and the people around us. Humility is key to everything we desire that pertains to our most intimate desire of glorifying God and being a blessing to others. Jesus showed us true humility when he went to the cross. And then Paul says, do not from selfish ambition or conceit, but it do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself, having the mind among you which is yours in Christ Jesus. It's not something we would have outside of being in Christ Jesus. Again, humility is reserved, like true love is reserved, for only those who are in Christ. Oh, we've met some great people in our lives. We've met some humble people in our lives that aren't Christians. How is that possible then? None of that matters to God. We're thankful that they're appreciated and they're experiencing great success in the common grace of God. But unless they come to believe Christ, this is all they have, is this life now. And that's it. We get to experience that, but it still means nothing to God. Jesus told the parable of the wedding feast to teach about this order of humility coming before honor. When you are invited to a wedding feast, do not sit at the place of honor. Don't we all like to get close to the bride and groom? Do not sit to the place of honor, but when you are invited, after all, I was invited, go to the lowest place, so that when your host come, he may say to you, friend, move up here, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus teaches clearly, the same as the Proverbs here. Pride and humility contrast. God elevates the humble, and he brings low the prideful. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. I love Spurgeon here. It is not humility to underrate yourself. Humility is to think of yourself, if you can, as God thinks of you. And he doesn't stop there. Very likely, the most humble man in the world, in his opinion, would not bend to anyone. Or we would say the most humble person in the world would not be a doormat to someone else. John Knox was said to be a truly humble man. Yet if we had seen him go before Queen Mary I with his Bible to reprove every action she did as a queen, people would naturally think, that's not a humble guy. And yet the truth promoted in love, even with a voice raised, is humility, because we're doing and carrying out the word of the Lord. Now, we quick consider Proverbs 29:23 because we can. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. We can, because what this verse reiterates is everything else that we've already talked about. The Hebrew word for lowly here is the same word that's translated humble in Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom, or with the lowly, or with the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This theme of humility before honor opens up the message of the gospel. For when we judge ourselves correctly, we finally recognize that all we have to bring to the table is our sin. But it is Christ and Christ alone that secured our salvation. Not because we could choose, but because of the great Father, great love of the Father before the foundation of the earth to love us who are able to humble ourselves before Him. That's the promise that we have and can count on. Wisdom and humility. We need to be humbled to get wisdom. And we need wisdom to stay humbled. Pray with me. Father, we are grateful for your word this morning that continues to remind us of the realities, the truths that you have for us. Your wisdom promotes humility, and humility grants us wisdom. Father, we thank you for these things, these truths. And we pray your blessing upon this time and this word. And as we move into the sacrament, we pray your blessing there as well. In Jesus' name, amen.